Hallelujah. Father, we bless your name. We give you praise. We worship you. We honor you because you are God. This is the hour, oh God. I ask you, Father, to speak. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak. Let nothing of me, oh God, find expression. Let the thoughts of my heart, the meditations of my heart, and the words of my mouth be sanctified, oh God. Speak to me and speak through me, oh God. Let every word, oh God, come into our hearts, oh God, and help us, oh God, as your people, to internalize your words, oh God. Let everyone under the sound of this voice not live here the same way. Father God, cause us, oh God, to receive your word with meekness, with humility, oh God. Cause us, oh God, to be blessed. In scriptures, when you spoke your word, signs, miracles, and wonders were accompanied. Father, we pray for that in the mighty name of Jesus, that for everyone who is sick, for everyone who is down and depressed, that, Lord, oh God, your word will come, oh God, with accuracy to liberate every one of us, to deliver us and to heal us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you all the praise and glory. As we internalize your word, Jehovah, we will not be hearers only, but we'll be doers. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So for a couple of weeks, we've been talking previously, 2 Sundays ago, Kende Odude took us through this soul, the protection of our soul, security for our soul. And then last Sunday, Pastor shared on the prayer of adoration and thanksgiving. I just want to pick up from where Uncle Kate stopped. And I want us to just have a look at something that will pop up on the screen, please. Can we just have something on the screen? The first slide, please. Yeah, praise the Lord. So Uncle Kay actually shared with us this 6 pieces of armor of the Roman soldier in the day. So Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, and he began to tell them that finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then he began to list all of these armors. So I'm just going to ask a few questions, and you don't have to answer. So, for example, there are 6 pieces of armor. You have the belt of truth. You have the breastplate of righteousness. You have the shield of faith. You have the sword of the spirit. You have the shoes, preparation for the gospel. And then you have the helmet of salvation. Of all of these 6 pieces of armor, which one is most important? And then of all of these 6 pieces of armor, which ones are offensive weapons, or which ones are defensive weapons? And then the third question I would like to ask, these weapons are like protecting the front side of the soldier. What protects the back? Praise the Lord. But the most important thing, and where I want us to start from tonight, this morning, is that scripture, Ephesians chapter 6. So if we go to Ephesians chapter 6, for context, I will start from verse 13, but where I'm going to is verse 18. Praise the Lord. Please, okay, yes, all right. Verse 13, I'll read from verse 13. Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, I want every one of us to pray, to read this together. One, to go. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praise the Lord. So the reason why the apostle was talking about the armor, he used that because that was the only thing they can relate to in their day. So the Roman soldier in the day would practically look like this. Praise the Lord. Now, the question I want to ask us is, if somebody is so girded like this, so kitted like this, and he goes to sleep, what will you say? What will you say of the person? Please, this preaching is, let me just tell you, it is participatory preaching, okay? We're going to be engaging. So it is participatory and we're going to pray later. So I don't want anybody keeping quiet. Holler to me any response that you have. Say amen. Shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, because that's me, okay? So we are going to look at this man, having been so girded, and if he goes to sleep and is even snoring, what will you say of the soldier? Sorry? He's a waste. What's your response? A foolish man. Not prepared. So many things. What? Please echo, shout. Suicidal. Praise the Lord. So we cannot afford to be so girded with all these six powerful armors and go to sleep. And that was why Paul said, praying always. He said, prayed. Or prayed. It is not a past tense. It's a present continuous thing. So the reason for the all of the six pieces of armor is for us to engage in what? Praying. Hallelujah. And so today, I just want us, in the few minutes that I have, to talk about the prayer of consecration. Praise the Lord. The prayer of consecration. Like I said, Pastor started last Sunday, and he told us about the prayer of adoration and the prayer of thanksgiving. So today, I'm just going to tell us about the prayer of consecration, because from that chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, praying always with all manners of prayer. So there are different kinds of prayers. If we do not understand it, then we are not going to maximize our opportunity to engage in praying. Praise the Lord. And one very important thing I want us to take notice of is the fact that the beginning of this year, the general overseer actually told us in one of the prophecies that this year is the year in which God will answer prayers. I.e., God is ready to answer all of the prayers we are ready to offer to him or to make to him. That tells me two things. One, it means I have to pray. If I have a God who is ready and available and willing to answer all prayers, then I must pray. But he also tells me another thing, second thing, the devil, the enemy, is going to work with all of his schemes and wiles and devices to ensure that I do not pray. Or I do not pray aright. Praise the Lord. So this morning we're going to learn about the prayers, the prayer of consecration. What is it about? Praise the Lord. Now, consecration is also the same as sanctification, dedication, and surrender. So if I'm using all of these words, please permit me to use them interchangeably. So when we talk about the prayer of consecration, it means to set apart. Praise the Lord. To set apart, to dedicate, to hallow, to sanctify, to make holy, and to separate for a higher use or a higher purpose. Praise the Lord. To consecrate means to set apart, to dedicate, to hallow, sanctify, make holy, and separate for a higher and sacred purpose. So consecration is a solemn dedication of our lives, of oneself, to a special or sacred purpose. I'm just defining the word consecrate and consecration. Praise the Lord. Now, in Bible times, the word consecrate appeared severally in the Old Testament. So, for example, you see in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says that God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. That sanctified it, he consecrated it. So if God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, could set apart a particular day and consecrate it and make it his own day of rest, you and I, how much more you and I need to separate and sanctify at least one day? I know we'll say, oh, we sanctify a Sunday and we'll come to church. But in your own regular day, daily living, you're going to church, you're going to work, going to school, what day do you set apart for the Lord? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we saw even in Old Testament, certain things, articles, and places, days were sanctified and consecrated, separated for holy purposes, for sacred uses. In Genesis, in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 2, God began to instruct the people of Israel through Moses. He said, every firstborn that comes out of you should be set apart and consecrated to the Lord. So we dedicate our children when they are born. And there are certain articles in the tabernacle of Moses and also in the temple of Solomon in Jerusalem that were set apart for holy and sacred uses. Praise the Lord. Now, when it got to the time when God wanted to speak to his people, the children of Israel, God gave instruction to Moses to tell the people to consecrate themselves. Praise the Lord. Because he is a holy God, he cannot behold iniquity. So in Exodus chapter 19, Exodus chapter 19, I'll just read a few verses from verse 10. Exodus 19 from verse 10. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and what? Consecrate them today and tomorrow. So the period of consecration was not just a one-off thing. Consecrate them for a consecutive period of 2 days. It says, because, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. Consecration took 3 days. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain to touch it or to touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. I'm going to skip to verse 14. Verse 14 says, so Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people. So sanctified the people. The first one was consecrate. The second one sanctified. So I said I was going to use them interchangeably. And then in verse 22 of Exodus chapter 19, it says, also let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. Praise the Lord. So when we talk about the prayer of consecration, we're actually talking about ourselves. Consecrating, setting apart ourselves, making our lives holy, making ourselves sanctified, ready for the Master's use. Praise the Lord. So for us to offer the prayer of consecration, it means that the prayer of consecration will bring us in connection and in communion with our God. The prayer of consecration will also set us apart for his sacred and holy purposes. And the prayer of consecration will grant us access to the Holy of Holies. Praise the Lord. How many people want to approach the Holy of Holies in prayers? Hallelujah. So this is the requirement. We cannot begin to live anyhow. Because when you want to approach the Holy of Holies, there are certain things, certain weights, certain things that cannot come with you there. When I want to approach the Holy of Holies, there are certain issues that cannot even come with me there. Because God is a holy God. Praise the Lord. Now the question is, who can or who should engage the prayer of consecration? Every believer should, every believer can. Praise the Lord. But going back again from Old Testament days, I want to go back to Exodus. Now, in the Old Testament, God ruled or led the people by three offices. The office of the prophet, the office of the priest, and the office of the king. Praise the Lord. So you have these three offices being occupied by individuals per time to lead the people. And the priest is the only one who had the privilege of going into the Holy of Holies on behalf of the people to offer whatever sacrifices, whatever prayer that they needed to offer to God. Praise the Lord. So let's go to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28, okay. It says, now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priests. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Praise the Lord. Now, God had given instruction to Moses to set these people apart to minister to him as priests. Praise the Lord. So these people occupied the priestly office in the Old Testament. And what was their responsibility? The people of Israel could not behold God. They could not come near God because they had sin in them. And so once in a year, Aaron would come as a priest, and then there would be two goats. All of these stories are in Leviticus chapter 16, going downwards. They will bring two goats. One is called the scapegoat, the other one the goat for the burnt offering. Aaron will put his two hands on one of the goats and confess all of the sins of the children of Israel upon the head of that goat. It may take days, it may take weeks, but after he has confessed all of the sins of Israel upon that goat, they will send that goat to the wilderness. That was the only way God would begin to accept their prayers and their offerings and their sacrifices. The other goat will now be slaughtered, and then the blood will be spilled on the mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant and all of that. And then God will accept their sacrifices. But even before Aaron went into the Holy of Holies, he would do a lot of purification on himself. If you look at chapter 28 of that Exodus, there were a list of things, their garments, their linen, everything was specifically listed as to how they were to dress themselves and as to how they were to conduct themselves when they come into the Holy of Holies. In fact, when they went into the Holy of Holies, they tied ropes around their waist with bells so that if they did anything wrong and somehow they are dead, they will use the rope to drag them out. Because if you go in there, you are finished. Praise the Lord. So these were the requirements for anybody to function in the priestly office, on the priestly functions or responsibilities. You've got to be holy. You've got to be set apart. You've got to be sanctified. Praise the Lord. Now, how does that apply to us today? Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In other words, because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Calvary, you and I are now royal priesthood. We cannot approach the Holy of Holies without the need or requirement of getting goats and confessing our sins upon a goat. What a privilege, what an honor. Also in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, Bible says, I think verse 5 or 6, it says, okay, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, verse 6, and has made us kings and what? Praise the Lord. And has made us what? Kings and priests. So he's not going to make you. You're already a king, you're already a priest. I am a king and I'm a priest. And what is the function of the priest? What is the role and responsibility of the priest? Praise the Lord. First of all, we must set ourselves apart. We must sanctify ourselves. We must live holy lives in order to function in this priestly office. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, what is the process by which we became priests and kings? We know it. Jesus came. He died for us. He resurrected again. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul began to write to the church in Corinth. He says, and such were some of you, such were some of us, all of us, but what? We have been washed, we have been sanctified, and we have been justified. So Satan or whatever does not have any claim to our lives anymore. The process of our priestly heritage, of our priestly office, is this. We were not only washed, we were sanctified, and we were justified. Every claim of justice against us because of our sins, because of our unbelief, has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, Bible says that we are now able, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holies of holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the only prerequisite for you to come to qualify as a priest is receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe we all have received him. I believe we all walk in his precepts already. All I am saying now or doing now is just reminding us of who we are. Because if this year has been proclaimed as a year in which the Lord will answer prayer, then we have to pray and pray right. We have to live right. Our lifestyle cannot remain the same. Praise the Lord. We cannot wear all of those six armors and go to sleep. When the Lord wakes us up in the night and says, Lou, wake up, pray for this person. And then you say, okay, I will wake up. No. How can an army, a soldier, be so high, heavily girded and go to sleep? That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, why should we engage this prayer of consecration? It's clear that our God is holy. And he commanded us, be ye holy as I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. Number two reason why we must offer this prayer of consecration is that God wants to do amazing things in our lives. It's one of our scriptures in this year. Pastor came to us this year and said, this year is a year of amazement. And he said in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, he says, look, I am going to do wonderful things in your lives. But what do you do? Sanctify yourself first. So the amazement and the wonders you are waiting for, you're seeking for, you're wishing to come into in this year, is preconditioned upon your sanctification and consecration. Praise the Lord. And then number three, God seeks to establish a perpetual priesthood. Amen. If you look at that Exodus chapter 28, several times it said, you will do this as memorial. Exodus 28 and verse 12. It says, and you shall put the two stones on the shoulders of Ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial. So God wants to establish a perpetual family of priesthood. Also, we know that the enemy, Bible says, he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But glory to God. The other part of that scripture says that Jesus came to give life and to give life more abundantly. So one reason we know that we must engage the prayer of consecration is that the devil does not relent. Another reason is that Satan is the accuser of brethren. In Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, Joshua was a high priest. He was already standing before God as a priest, as a holy person. But what happened? Satan was there to put death on his garment. And everyone was like, Joshua, you have a stained garment. You ought not to appear before the Lord like this. Even Satan was there, was telling him, you can't even pray. Don't you see your sin of yesterday? Because he constantly accused the brethren. Praise the Lord. So we know because he's accusing us, we need to put on consecration, sanctification of our lives. And I pray that will be our lifestyle in Jesus' name. Amen. The last portion of my sharing is how we should engage the prayer of consecration. I'm just going to read through because of time. There are things that we already know. So the first one is that we must be born again. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8 and 9. I think verse 8 and 9, it says that the prayer of the sinner is an abomination before God. And so God has provided the avenue for us to rededicate. If we have missed it, God says, come back like the prodigal son. And then number two, how we must engage in the prayer of consecration. We must abide in him. John 15 and verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will and it will be granted unto you. Praise the Lord. And then number three, how we should engage the prayer. It says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Praise the Lord. And then we must remember that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 to 20. He says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is indwelling us, we can't afford to live a life that is not in congruence, that is not in alignment with the word of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We must present our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Thank God for the choir. They've sang it to all us already. And then we must keep our tongue from speaking evil. James chapter 3 and verse 8 to 11, he said, how can the same mouth we're using to pray to God, to praise God, to worship God, the same mouth will be speaking evil? God forbid. So we must sanctify our mouths. Our tongue must be in alignment. Everything we say must be in alignment with God's word. Praise the Lord. And then I said, we must keep the company of priests because iron must sharpen iron. Hallelujah. You cannot keep bad company. 1 Corinthians, is this 15 and verse? 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, it says, evil communication corrupts good manners. So no matter how good you are, if you continue to flock with bad people, with people who are not holy and sanctified, you just find yourself, you continue to toe that line as well. Because whoever you associate with, they rub off on you. Their character and whatever their beliefs are will rub off on you. So there is need for us to keep the company of priests, of other priests. We are many in the house. Praise the Lord. And then the last one I put there is that we must flee. Not the last one. We must flee wrong association. Okay, I've said that. Flee wrong association. Keep good companies. And then number 9, I said we must awake unto righteousness. And we must sin not. Praise the Lord. Righteousness, I wanted to make a demonstration and an illustration of righteousness here because it is so key. And that was why I asked us initially, which of those armors is the best or is the greatest or whatever? But we don't have the time. But the truth is, the righteousness described in this scripture, he's not talking about positional or static righteousness. Praise the Lord. There are 2 kinds of righteousness. I'll just talk about them briefly because we need to understand. Now, the static righteousness, or what I call static or positional righteousness, is the righteousness that tells us that because we are born of God, we have God's DNA. Hallelujah. So nothing can stop that. I was going to use Oluwatoni. So Oluwatoni is pastor's son. Is there anything you and I can do to stop him from being pastor's son? If Oluwatoni travels from here to Australia and he goes to Canada or anything, does he stop being pastor's son? That is static righteousness. Bible says that he who knew no sin was made sin so that you and I can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So what Christ has done has made us righteous before God. So Jesus' righteousness has been credited to us. Nothing can stop it. But you know what? The devil is going to work against the functional righteousness. What I call functional righteousness and that is what Paul was talking about here, the breastplate of righteousness is our daily living. The thoughts, the words, and our conducts. Are they righteous? Praise the Lord. And that is where we are going to camp right now, this morning, as we get into the time of prayer. If you look at the book of, that's Exodus 28. If you read from beginning to end, the word breastplate was used in that chapter 12 times. For me, that 12 times use of breastplate signified the 12 tribes of Israel. But if we bring it to our day, the 12 breastplates represent the 12 months of the year, if you like. So every month of the year, beginning from January, February to December, you must have your breastplate of righteousness. You and I, for us to function in the priestly office, we must have that breastplate of righteousness. We must eschew everything that would take us into unbelief, anything that would take us into things that are not of God. Praise the Lord. Finally, I just want to give examples, and then we are going to pray. Abraham was called by God. Bible says he was 75 years when God called him. But mistakenly on his part, I don't know if it's a mistake anyway, he carried Lot. Bible says in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14, that after Lot separated from Abraham, God spoke to him. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes. In other words, Abraham could not see as long as Lot was with him. Why? Because the meaning of Lot is veil. A veil was constantly over Abraham. So that even if God was to show him the stars in the heaven and the land and everything, Abraham was not going to be able to see. Was Lot a wicked person? No, Lot was a little boy, a nephew. Was it wrong to have taken a little boy along? I don't think it was wrong. But God could not do anything with Abraham, father of many nations, until there was a separation. Praise the Lord. We talk about Elijah. Elijah commanded rain to fall after 3 years of drought. Do you know why? He obeyed God and he went to the brook Cherith. Bible says, go to the brook Cherith. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. And Elijah obeyed and he stayed there. Do you know what Cherith means? The root word that is translated Cherith means to cut off. In other words, are there things in your life, in my life, that we must cut off and we must separate from in order for us to function in the priestly office? Praise the Lord. I'd like us to rise to our feet. Now we're going to engage in prayer. Now it is not praying small, small. I don't believe in praying, God is hearing my heart. No, we have to pray out loud. Praise the Lord. I just want to give an opportunity. Is there anyone here who has not received the Lord Jesus Christ? Or you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, but you know, right now, you are not in line with God. You have backslidden. Please, I want to give the opportunity, because if you are not in relationship with God, you can only pray, but your prayers, Bible says, is an abomination. Is there anyone, very quickly, who wants to make it right with God? We're talking about a holy God. We can only approach him with holiness, with righteousness. Is there anyone in the house? There's no shame. You're coming to your heavenly Father. Anyone in the house? Okay, nobody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because all are saved. Thank you, because we are all priests. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the first prayer point is going to be taken from the book of Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Hallelujah. Okay, Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is David praying. We know that David was a man after God's heart. So if David is praying this prayer, you and I, we need to pray it. Don't deceive yourself. He says, search my heart, and see if there is any wicked way in me. So we're going to say, Lord, purify my heart. Make me right before you. Sanctify me, make me holy in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's begin to pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus Christ, that on the Mount of Calvary, he did a substitutionary work and he made us your righteousness in Christ. Father, we thank you because, oh God, we come before you. We pray, oh God, that you search our heart. Make us right before you, oh God. See if there is any wicked way in me. Is there any wicked thoughts in my heart? Is there anything, oh God, that is not of you? Father, we pray this morning, uproot every wickedness from me, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Every thought, every word, every action that is not in alignment with your will. Father God, help me. Begin to pray. I need you to open your mouth and pray, because you are a priest. You are a priest. In the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you, O God. We come before the Holy of Holies. And we pray, O God, that you take away everything that is not of you. Every thought, every word, every ideas, everything that is not of you. Take it away, O God, and make us holy. Make us pure. Make us right. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Something just came to my mind now, because I was just rushing. You know, our children may say they are not priests, or some of us ladies may say we are not priests because we are the women. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, Bible says that there is no Jew, no Gentile, no male, no female. Everyone is one in Christ. Praise the Lord. And we know that God does not have grandchildren. He doesn't have great-grandchildren. The same God of my God is the same God of my children and my children's children. Amen? So in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, it says the secret things that belong to God, but the things that are revealed, they belong to us and to our children. So children, you are priests, because God has made us priests and kings. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our second prayer point, I want us to have this consciousness so that we can pray with some boldness and confidence. Amen. We're going to pray for God to deliver us from secret faults and from secret sin. Let's look at Psalms 19. Psalms 19, from verse 12 to 14. Psalms 19, 12 to 14. Say, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Yeah, assuming I'm the only person that can sing, I'm the only person that can clean the house of God. Who told you that? Elijah thought the same thing. He even told God, God, kill me because I'm the only prophet and Ahab is after my life. And God said, keep quiet. There are 7,000 other prophets that have not bowed themselves before Baal. So why are you saying, he says, deliver me from presumptuous sin. I don't want to be assuming that I am holy when there are issues in my life. There are secret errors. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Praise the Lord. So the prayer point, yes, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, O God. So the prayer point is, Lord, deliver me from secret faults. In fact, this prayer, you just be open to God, be naked before him. The Bible says his eye is over all. You cannot hide from him. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, he says, where can I run from your presence? If I go to the uttermost part of the earth, you are there. Even the night is like day before you. So let's begin to pray. Father, deliver me from secret fault. Is there anything in your heart that you know is not right? And you know it. Confess it before the Lord. But there are even some other issues that you may not be aware of. Lord, bring them to my mind. Bring them to my understanding. Those things that I used to do when my parents are not there, when my pastors are not there. Father God, help me, deliver me. All of those things I used to watch, social media connections, addictions. Father God, break us from them in the name of Jesus Christ. I tell you, social media is a great thing in this season. In this dispensation, even myself, I am struggling. There was a time I proclaimed a fast with my children. And I said it's a fast from social media. I seized all of their phones and their tablets. I took my own. I threw it away as well. But even me, I struggled. So let's begin to pray. Father, every secret fault, every secret fault, every secret sin, Father God, deliver me. Because to be a priest, I must live a holy life. I must live a life that is acceptable unto you. Begin to pray, Father. Lord, we cry to you this morning. Have mercy on us, O God. Cleanse us from secret faults. Deliver us from presumptuous sin. As a people individually, as a people corporately. Father God, families, children, deliver us, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Le kronde rebo sheria bakande, lavendo zobranista kabande, zekonde riabakuza branista, rando zokredista kebonde redebosha, levendo zogradista kebonde, engrado zabranista kabande redebosha. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Lastly, because of time, we're just going to pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing we can do by our power nor by our might. Bible says it's not by power, it's not by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. So we're going to pray, Father, help me to be obedient. Help me to be real and authentic. Help me to be deliberate and intentional in my living as a priest. We have said it, that a priest is the only one that is qualified to go into the Holy of Holies. But right now, the curtain has been torn. The veil has been torn. We have access by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, Father God, don't when you come to God, don't pretend. Don't put on any coat. He knows you. Before we were formed in our mother's womb, he knew us. So, Father, we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. Help me, oh God. Help me, Holy Spirit, in my daily living, in my work with you, in my place of work, in my place of study, in everything that I do. Father God, help me to be real. Holy Spirit, help me to be authentic. Help me to be deliberate and intentional. Now, every word that proceeds from my mouth, it shall be a word that is seasoned with salt. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you. We worship you. We thank you, oh God. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. I just want to just say one more thing and then I'll take a song and we invite the pastor to close for us. When we pray, please, I know we're in the spirit, but I'm asking a question and I want responses. When you pray, what goes up to God? Do you know? like we just prayed now, we say, Father God, thank you. Holy Spirit, help us. What goes to God? Do you know? Does anybody know when you pray, whether you're praying in words of your understanding or you're praying in the spirit that you don't understand? Because Bible says when we pray in the spirit, we pray mysteries unto God. So praying in different forms. When you pray, whether in the spirit or in words, language that you understand, what goes to God? Do we know? Okay, this will help us, because what I am teaching today is not for today, it's for every day. So let's open to two scriptures, Psalm 141 and verse 2. Psalm 141 and verse 2. Let's read together. I want to go. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Revelation 5 and verse 8, please. Revelation 5 and verse 8. 1, 2, let's go. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So when you pray, what goes to God? Incense. Do you know what incense are? Do you understand? There is no time, because we need to understand what we are doing. Don't say I'm praying in my mind. No. When you are praying, incense are going up and they are filling your golden cup in heaven. So where is your spiritual bank account? Is it empty or half full? We need to be conscious. And if you come with filthiness, with sin, with whatever, you can imagine what will be. In fact, I won't even go there. Because whatever is not incense cannot ascend to God. Praise the Lord. But we know that God will help us. Hallelujah. Make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. Lord, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Let my life give you glory. Let my life give you praise. Let the thoughts of my heart, the meditations of my heart, and the words of my mouth, oh God, let them ascend to you as incense. This is our prayer this morning, that our life will bring you glory. Oh, Jesus, bring new life. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
Just going to take, we're not going to sing the songs. I just want us to confess the wordings of a song, Take My Life and Let It Be. Okay, can we get that lyric song? The first verse that says, Take My Life and Let It Be. And I'd like us all to make that proclamation. We're not singing it, just say, Take My Life and Let It Be, consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. The other one I want to say, take my will. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. it shall be thy royal throne. My prayer is that truly God will take our will and make it his, that we'll be yielded to him, that we'll consecrate ourselves to him, and we'll be found fit for his use in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, as we go this day, we ask, O Lord, that your abiding presence will continue with us. We commit the week ahead into your hands. We ask, Spirit of God, that you'll lead us, you'll guide us, you'll guard us, you'll keep us to the glory of your holy name. We give you praise, Father, for we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen in Jesus' name.